Worries about Greece are spreading across the globe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Worry continues to spread that Greece will not be able to pay off its debt. And because of that, investors fear another European banking crisis could be on the way. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us from the European desk with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
All right, a government defaulting. Isn't that rare, Stephen, especially for a small country? Why is the Greek crisis having this continued global effect?
It's all about interconnectedness. As a member of the Eurozone, Greece is joined at the hip with other heavily indebted Eurozone countries, Portugal, Ireland, Spain, Italy. And between them, they've borrowed more than $3 trillion, much of it from European banks. So the fear is a Greek default could be the first domino to fall. Here's Peter Tarlason of Breaking Views.
The danger is that a Greek restructuring prompts people to start getting worried about the debt of other Eurozone countries, and that then you have a sort of potentially a vicious spiral that affects the confidence in the banking system.
The banking system. But Stephen, this is just European banks. Why the global reaction?
These European banks have got big links with US and Asian banks. It's all about confidence. And some analysts are saying a Greek default could trigger such a widespread loss of confidence that it would be rather like the freeze in lending after the collapse of Lehman Brothers 3 years ago.
When the credit dried up. All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
In this country today, the Senate Banking Committee will look at a bill that would increase how much money credit unions can loan to businesses. The credit unions say a lift in their lending cap could help create badly needed jobs. From Washington, here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
Right now, credit unions' business loans are capped at about 12% of their assets. They want Congress to more than double the amount of money they can lend. John McGill is the chief lobbyist for the Credit Union National Association, a trade group. He says if the cap were lifted, $13 billion would be available immediately, money small businesses could use to create tens of thousands of jobs.
With high unemployment, the need for small business lending, we think the time is absolutely right for this.
But small business loans can be risky. Think about how many restaurants you've seen fail.
Don't let your friend start a restaurant. It's a really good way to go bankrupt.
That's Bill Black, a former banking regulator now teaching economics at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. He says credit unions don't have the experience to deal with risky small business loans. But lobbyist McGill says credit unions can only lend to their members, and they know their communities. Congress is weighing the arguments with bills pending in both houses. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Well, the Greek crisis has European shares down 1% or more. Fewer people sought first-time jobless benefits last week. That's according to the Labor Department with its report out just now, a few minutes ago. Groundbreaking on U.S. homes got a bump in May as housing starts hit a five-month high. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 178 points to close at 11,897.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. For the latest in healthcare, Marketplace recently visited Russia for an intriguing look at the changing healthcare system. Visit marketplace.org and click on the health link for more.
There's a Senate committee hearing today, this week I should say, looking at whether the U.S. government should buy controversial crude oil from the oil sands of Canada. Those lawmakers want to know how that oil will affect the environment. If Washington says no, Ottawa threatens to sell the oil to China instead. From the Canadian oil sands in Alberta, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
At Canadian oil company Cenovus, executive Drew Zickel-Gansberger knows that the U.S. is his chief market. And that's rough, since Americans are debating if Canadian crude is environmentally too dirty.
So right now we're standing on a well pad.
Zickel-Gansberger's answer, nah-uh.
And these trees around this well pad will never get disturbed because we're extracting the oil sands from underneath.
critics say, yeah, but pumping Canadian oil takes lots of energy and therefore carbon emissions. Some argue it's the dirtiest oil on the planet.
The U.S. has some choices to make, whether they still want us to access their market. At the same time, though, we are also looking at other markets.
Like China. Political? No, it's rational business. For the next two decades, Asia will be the growth market. In fact, Canadian oil already goes there, industry consultant David Goldwyn.
Canada already has a Western export line, which brings oil by pipe to the West Coast. Oil also moves by rail.
More pipelines and deeper ports are under discussion in Canada, all going west.
We need to participate in global growth markets, not singular stagnant markets.
That's Calgary economist Peter Terzakian. And yes, stagnant market is you and me. He figures U.S. demand peaked 5 years ago.
It is permanent. You can see it in the data. People are starting to drive a little bit less. And then importantly, people are buying more commonsensical vehicles.
Canada's China card is meant to provoke an emotional response. But economist Phil Verleger doesn't worry. He says if China buys Canadian crude, we will simply go somewhere else. And he thinks the risk of a big supply disruption is overdone.
The United States has a strategic reserve of 720 million barrels of crude oil, which provides us more security than we need for almost all occasions.
Whether that's right or not, one thing is clear. More of the world's oil will flow to Asia. In Alberta, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, last week, Google famously paid tribute to the late guitar giant Les Paul's birthday on its homepage, transforming the word Google into musical strings that people could record into a song. Soon, versions of everything from Freebird to Stairway to Heaven started popping up on YouTube. Well, now, website Extreme Tech says all that music making cost the world 10.5 million hours and $268 million in lost productivity. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Waikiki Beach brings Hawaii about $2 billion in revenue every year. But like the beach's sandy stretches, that revenue is in danger of being washed away.
I look at it as triage. What beaches can we save for the next generation, and which beaches are going to be difficult to save?
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Changing Climates, Disappearing Beaches, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.